Coming up, it's the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
From NPR, it's World Cafe. Hey, I am Kaleo. Bad Bunny was just announced as the Super Bowl halftime show headliner in 2026, but that's not all he's accomplished this year. We caught up with Alt Latino hosts Ana Maria Serre and Felix Contreras to get into the summer of Bad Bunny, including his 31-day residency in San Juan.
The energy more or less actually stayed consistent across all of those shows in the sense that Puerto Rican pride was always at the forefront of everything.
Our friends from Alt Latino will unpack this historic residency and talk about the energy people experienced on the street excited for the concerts.
That give and take with the audience, that sense of community, that was very much like a Dead show.
Not something you hear every day comparing Bad Bunny to a Grateful Dead show, but Felix and Ana Maria will explain. The summer of Bad Bunny coming up on today's World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. Three adults suffered injuries after a plane crash near the McGregor Airport in Aiken County. Chelsea Perkins has the details.
The Aiken County Sheriff's Office states first responders responded to the crash scene Sunday afternoon about a half mile southeast of the McGregor Airport. The initial investigation reveals that the plane, a Piper PA-28-140, lost power shortly after takeoff from the airport. The pilot attempted to return to the airport when the plane went down in a swampy area short of the runway. The plane is a small aircraft that typically can seat 2 to 4 occupants. One passenger was life-flighted for treatment, and two others were transported by ground to Riverwood Healthcare Center in Aiken. All three are being treated for injuries and are reportedly in stable condition. The occupants have been identified as Caden Brzezinski and Jocelyn Erlandson, both 23 from Ham Lake, and Wyatt Sherry, 22 of New Richmond, Wisconsin. Chelsea Perkins, KAXE News.
The state of Minnesota's lawsuit against Fleet Farm over firearms straw purchasing will proceed to trial despite Fleet Farm's attempt to dismiss the lawsuit. According to a news release, Attorney General Keith Ellison's office prevailed in federal court, with the judge rejecting a motion for a summary judgment. The retailer is accused of selling guns to straw purchasers despite red flags, such as multiple purchases of similar guns in a short period of time and large cash purchases of firearms. The lawsuit's claims against Fleet Farm include negligence, public nuisance, and violating the Minnesota Gun Control Act. The court highlighted the circumstances of Fleet Farm sales to two straw purchasers and how one of the guns Fleet Farm sold to Jerome Horton was used in a mass shooting at the Truck Park Bar in St. Paul. The 2021 shooting left one dead and 14 injured. A Fleet Farm sales manager in Blaine raised concerns to an internal firearms compliance employee about Horton's purchases in July 2021, but reportedly never heard back. Fleet Farm's two firearms compliance employees later provided a company training on suspicious sales activity using Fleet Farm's July 2021 sales of guns to Horton as an example of what should raise a red flag. The court will establish a trial date in the near future. Keith Ellison will be stopping by Bemidji this week for a community forum. The forum will be 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Tuesday. The location will be made available before the event to those who register. Ellison is slated to speak about lawsuits filed against the federal government. Participants will be invited to share stories and concerns about actions taken at the federal level, according to a release. Ellison will also host a community forum in Brainerd on October 27th. Bemidji State University Alumni and Foundation is launching a new initiative to replant trees on campus. The Replant Our Roots campaign asks supporters to sponsor a new tree planting at $1,000 each. Full donations will be commemorated with a plaque, and donors will receive a sustainably sourced wooden thank you gift. The initiative aims to replant some of the hundreds of mature trees that came down in the June windstorm, some of which had been around since before Bemidji State started as a teacher's college in 1919. The Alumni and Foundation will accept smaller gifts toward the tree replanting, with donors invited to help plant them in spring 2026. More information on how to get involved is at bsualumni.org. The Cuyuna Regional Medical Center has announced some changes to its health care services for the Brainerd Lakes area. A new same-day clinic is slated to open by mid-2026 in Nisswa. The clinic will be located next to Schaefer's Foods. Additionally, CRMC plans to transition its home care and hospice delivery services to a new provider, Vivi. Vivi is a new name representing two legacy companies that merged in 2024, Knute Nelson and Walker Methodist. The transition is expected to be complete by the end of the year. The changes come with growing demand and shifting demographics, according to a news release. Other key investments for CRMC include a full-time neurologist and continued growth and access for rural patients to oncology services, which have seen a 43% increase in patient volume since 2023. That's it for the Up North Report. Find more of our stories at KAXE.org. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is sponsored by Woodland Bank, dedicated to serving local businesses, families, and nonprofits in our area since 1920. You can find more information online at woodland.bank.
From NPR, it's World Cafe. Hey, I'm Kaleo. Perhaps you've heard the news. Bad Bunny is headlining this year's Super Bowl halftime show. Before the announcement, I caught up with Alt Latino hosts Ana Maria Sayer and Felix Contreras to talk about the summer of Bad Bunny, including his 31-day residency in San Juan that was a celebration of Puerto Rican culture, unprecedented in terms of economic impact for the island, plus its record-breaking finale live stream. So let's get into our conversation with Ana Maria and Felix of Alt Latino. Welcome to the show, gang.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So let's start with some basic details. What exactly did Bad Bunny do?
Ooh, change the world? I don't know. No, he did a 31-show residency in Puerto Rico, brought lots of invited guests from all over Latin America and the United States. It was truly unprecedented in so many ways.
Buenas noches, Puerto Rico!
And on your podcast coverage on one of his last shows of the summer, you both talked about the historical, sociological, and even emotional impact of these shows. I would love to unpack that a little bit.
Okay. First of all, as Ana said, he played 31 shows at El Choli, which is El Coliseo de Puerto Rico, José Miguel Agrelot. It's an iconic 19,500-seat venue. It was spread out over 72 days from July 1st to September 20th. Every show sold out. That's over 600,000 tickets sold, and that has never happened before on the island or anywhere else, as far as I can tell.
Wow, that's so impressive. The run of shows had a specific name, No Me Quiero Ir De Aquí. What's behind that name?
Oh, I mean, that is a super loaded name and therefore loaded question. It literally translates to, I don't want to leave here. And it's something that, you know, it's not only been a rallying cry for Benito over the years of his career, but I would say the island at large right now. Benito is basically taking advantage of a political moment, of a social moment, of a cultural moment that's been happening for a number of years now in Puerto Rico that involves people very overtly, forcefully saying that they want to stay in Puerto Rico in response to different things like rising prices on the island, gentrification, all of that kind of stuff. So Bad Bunny, basically what he's done musically and just personally and how he talks and what he says, has taken that concept and he's basically adopted it as the overarching idea of his latest record and also this entire residency that he's done on the island.
Yeah, I see. We talked a little bit about emotions a while back, and I imagine there were some pretty powerful ones. What kind are we talking about?
Tears. Lots of tears, man.
Wow. Including mostly from Felix. Felix took up about 50% of the waterworks in the room.
I'll confess to that. No, this whole series of concerts meant a lot of different things to different people, and it was very cool to see all these different, you know, different levels of pride about the island, the music, the island's history in the Caribbean and its influence in the Caribbean. And personally, I in that room, in that moment, I felt like we were all Puerto Rican, and I think that that was the message, as Anna's referenced, I think that was a message that the people on the island and then all the people in the room and then Bad Bunny, that's the message he wanted to get out.
Yeah. And Felix, it was emotional there for your one show. We're not comparing or competing, but Anna, you went to 5 shows?
Oh, we are always comparing and competing. I did get the chance to go to 5 shows. I'm very grateful for that. And it was interesting to see not only track the progress within the show itself, right? I went to one of the earlier Puerto Ricans only show. I went as people from outside started coming. I went to the final show, a few sprinkled in between. The energy more or less actually stayed consistent across all of those shows in the sense that Puerto Rican pride was always at the forefront of everything. And I think what it really did for me is it gave me this kind of immovable pillar to track the progress outside of the show on the island over the summer. I got to spend a lot of time and I got to see how people almost continue to grow and grow and grow in their pride and their sense of self in response to these shows and the reaction and the way people were coming in. So it was actually really exciting to see the excitement only grow and the energy only grow, which I think is exactly what Bad Bunny was trying to create and to create a lasting effect from these shows. That was essential.
En el monte, hoy se rompe, desde que sale el sol hasta que se esconde.
En el monte, hoy se rompe,
si ando vamos agotando humo, dale, ponle.
En el monte, hoy se rompe,
suban pa' acá pa' que sientan el torque.
En el monte, hoy se rompe,
me voy a dar otra en lo que los muchachos hacen el corte.
What a special run of shows. And I know that there were supposed to be 30 shows that you and Felix were going to be at the last show, but it turns out there was another last show, right?
I know. He tricked us. He's always very sly, Benito. Yes, there was a final show. It was scheduled to be on the anniversary of Hurricane Maria. It was streamed on Amazon Prime, Amazon Music, and Twitch. I believe that subscribers the day that that news was announced went up by like 250,000 or something like that. It ended up being the most streamed single artist concert on Amazon Music of all time. And beyond that, I mean, it was something that I opened up my feed and it was like, I didn't see anything else. Nonstop. Everyone on the island, off the island that I knew was holding watch parties. They were singing. It was like, it was a cultural event that he created.
Yeah. Felix, on your podcast, you told Anna that the vibe in the room felt very familiar to you. What were you feeling?
It felt like a Grateful Dead show, man. It's because I'm a longtime Deadhead. And, you know, the Dead created this sense of community with their audience, right?
Yeah.
And that was it when Jerry Garcia was alive and then after he passed with all the other bands. So that's what it felt like to me. I mean, like, I was sitting there and I couldn't figure it out until it was the next day. I had time to think about it. That give and take with the audience, that sense of community that we've talked about already, that was very much like a Dead show. And even to the nuanced little movements and grand gestures, like when Bad Bunny would do something, a movement or something or wave or something, the crowd would explode. And it was the same as like being at a Dead show when Garcia would hit a power chord and the crowd would erupt, or Bob Weir would forget a lyric and everybody reacted. It's that same give and take, that exact give and take of what was going on. Even to the point of being outside, there was a street fair. I guess you could call it a street fair outside. There was food, T-shirts, music, groovy people. It's just like the Grateful Dead Shakedown Street outside of their shows, where they sold, you know, veggie burritos, Grateful Dead T-shirts, endless hacky sack games. I hear they sell psychedelics, but, you know, I wouldn't know anything about that. You know, that there were so many parallels, and it really felt like being a part of a very special community.
This is like the gold medal of Felix compliments, by the way. Like, I've never heard him speak so highly
Getting the Grateful Dead comparison is a badge of pride. Well, I'm sure there were a few people out there saying, I need one for one of those Bad Bunny concerts.
I need a miracle, right.
Yeah, this is such a grand gesture. People used words like unprecedented or historic to describe the event. How do you top this? What is next for Bad Bunny?
I mean, like I said, he's always full of surprises. And something that, you know, I would know about all the language around it, this idea of like, oh, it's so unprecedented, or oh, it's the numbers, right? Everyone wants to talk about the economic impact, things like that. And that, honestly, to me, only scratches the surface of mm-hmm. what he really created here. I think that something I've said to Felix a couple times now is it really did have to be a Puerto Rican artist, whether it was him or someone else, who created such an impactful cultural moment like this. I mean, this was way more than just Puerto Ricans. This was like a moment of Latin American, to me, of Latin American pride that people in Venezuela could relate to, people in Mexico, people in the United States as well. And so, you know, obviously him as an individual, he has all kinds of plans. He's doing movies. He's, I'm sure, going to do more music. He's got an incredible career in front of him. But I think what will always live is the energy that is, it's hard to describe, where like you sit in that room, like Felix said, and you feel the pride of what it feels like to be mm-hmm. proud of where you're from and to be unapologetic about that and to sing in Spanish and to scream in Spanish. And I think that was mostly what mattered here, is to flip the script on what it means to be from a colony, what it means to be from a country in Latin America. So that, to me, is really the lasting impact here.
Oh, that's so beautifully said. Here's the question I have for y'all, and take all the time in the world you need to think about it. At World Cafe, we've got some listeners who, you know, like their knowledge of Bad Bunny is limited, and hearing about all of these concerts kind of has piqued their curiosity. If you were to send them off on their way to go spend some time with a Bad Bunny record, what do you think the right entry point for someone who's just getting into it would be?
Oh, okay. Well, this is like an obvious one. The latest that he released has been the most inviting, maybe. It has the most diversity of genre of sound, I would say. But that being because it includes salsa, it includes plena, it includes bamba, and bomba, it includes reggaeton, obviously. But I do love the idea of continuing to call him a reggaeton artist, because to suggest that reggaeton is only one thing and that it's maybe, as some people have suggested, not like the highest class of music or the most, you know, culturally, whatever you want to call it, a music. Reggaeton has always had elements of bomba rhythmically. It's always had elements of salsa energetically. And so I think what he did is he more just dialed into those things a little bit more, but he actually really did double down and stick with the integrity of the original sound that he made, which feels like it just is all consistent, right? He was like, I will continue to be Puerto Rican, even if you don't think that's valuable, because I'm going to prove how valuable that is. And I will continue to play reggaeton, even if you don't see that as being valuable, because it is.
That's true legacy building. Felix, what about you?
I would agree. I think the most recent record is the way to dip your toes in it, but for a different reason, because I see this record, you know, we featured his very first record years ago. I see this record as a young man coming of age, of discovering himself, who he is, really leaning into, what is it, like early 30s, 32 or so. He's at that age where, okay, who am I? Where did I come from? And he draws on, like Ana said, he draws on all the things that he's made a name for himself with, reggaeton and all that other stuff. But now he's incorporating all his grandparents' music, his elders' music. And it really is a fascinating portrait of a young artist at the top of his game, discovering who he is. So I would go with the same record, but for a different reason.
Beautifully said. Ana Maria Serre and Felix Contreras are the host of the NPR music podcast Alt Latino, filling us in on the summer of Bad Bunny. Thank you both so much for being here and sharing your knowledge.
Thanks for having us, as always.
Thank you. Thank you, bro. Thanks, man. Debí tirar más fotos de cuando te tuve. Debí darte más besos y abrazos las veces que pude. Ey, ojalá que los míos nunca se muden. Y si hoy me emborracho, pues que me ayuden.
from Bad Bunny here on World Cafe from his latest album, Debí Tirar Más Fotos. Thanks again to Felix Contreras and Ana Maria Serre of Alt Latino for stopping by. If you missed any of it, you can find it at worldcafe.org. We're back in a minute with more World Cafe. Welcome back. It's World Cafe. They have a lot of fun at Alt Latino. Always appreciate Felix and Ana Maria stopping by. If you haven't checked out the show, Alt Latino is an NPR music podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Santana, going back to 1976 now from Amigos. Here's Dance Sister Dance on World Cafe.
silence on someone's dime. I looked for answers that they weren't mine to find. Good days are coming, not just to die. I know you're tired of trying.
Fleet Foxes from their self-titled album, He Doesn't Know Why, and Vampire Weekend from Only God Was Above Us, Capricorn. New music from a band called Medium Build that I think is good regardless of your build. Next on World Cafe.
Green Cheese listeners know how important it is to support stations like KAXE KBXE.
anyone who can, be sure to donate, because as all of us know who listen to this, Green Cheese and all the other programming on the stations, we really, really love it and don't want anything to happen to it. So it's really important to give what you can.
One thing I wanted to do is I wanted to talk to everybody out there. Radio is important when it's unique and it's interesting and it's local, and given your current funding situation, everybody out there should be doing something about that, no matter how little it is. If everybody did something, it makes a tremendous difference. Think about Saturday nights with no green cheese. That sounds terrible.
Awful.
It would be so boring.
This is the queen, and I'm going to make an edict. All cheeses, get your checkbooks out and send in some money to our favorite station and show, and my check will be in the mail tomorrow.
Donate now at KAXE.org.
Welcome back. It's World Cafe. Allow me to introduce you to Medium Build. That's the musical project of Nick Carpenter, singer-songwriter who grew up in Georgia, spent a lot of time in Alaska, and broke out touring with Louis Capaldi and collaborating with ex-ambassadors. Take a listen to this new song, Last Time. It's Medium Build on World Cafe.
Smoking in the street, you were finishing your drink. We were waiting for your friends. It hadn't been romantic in a while. You were kind of playing mean. It was the kind of Friday night where all the drunks are in the street. So this girl who wanders out, she was trying to get a laugh. She pretends she had a mistletoe hanging by her head. You were drunk but still polite. We didn't wanna kill her vibe, so we pressed our lips together like we had a thousand times, but it might be the last time that we kissed. You always take for granted what you have until it's missed. Don't you take for granted what you have until it's missed. Orange wine at B&B. Then we got the news about Eileen. I punched the hole in the wall. You got caught up in a ball. You told your friends he's a loaded. Now you say that I'm the one. Is it romantic that you're the only person I never cheated on? And now we're dancing in the park. You're really trying to unwind. It's been so long since I've seen you have a decent time. Not crashed out on the couch, not pulling your hair out. Come on, one more mouth to mouth, it might be the last time that we kiss. You always take for granted what you have until it's missed. Don't you take for granted what you have until it's missed. And this might be the last time that you to be happy. And I know the way that sounds when you hear this, 'cause it might be the last time
can't say that I'm sorry when I don't feel so wrong anymore. I can't tell you I'm trying when there's nothing left here to try for. And I don't know how it happened. We both abandoned the reason we used to believe. Was it love that we shared when we easily cared? Now it's impossible to conceive. I don't know who can see if you've ever learned how to let someone in. Well, I've tried to come find you, but I just don't know where to begin. If you've ever been open, there's no way of knowing with the way that knowing you has been. Was it always so broken? If these thoughts were spoken, would it bring us together again? I can't say that I'm sorry when I don't feel so wrong. Can't tell you I'm trying when there's nothing left here to try for. Well, I can't be the one to keep holding you back. If there's something you're missing, then go right ahead. I'll be long gone. Thanks for the songs, but it's
Neil Francis, and you're listening to The World Cafe.
You're in heaven. beauty of the world shines through you and me, and you can't stop the rain. It's always coming down. It's always gonna fall. But you're not gonna drown. No, no, no.
Al Green, I Feel Good. Getting down to the end of the hour here on World Cafe. Appreciate you listening, and we'd like to thank our affiliates nationwide who make this show possible, a show we produce from WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. Video performances and interviews are available on demand on our YouTube channel at World Cafe. I'm Stephen Kaleo. This has been World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by Lilly Endowment, a private foundation.